This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa Khatimin Nabiyyin. Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما Recently I've spoken on a verse of Surah Al-A'raf in which Allah describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in various ways. Towards the end of this verse, Allah mentions something about the relationship of the believers with the same Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, namely, فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ مَعْهُ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. So those who believe in him, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so those who believe in him and who strengthen him and who assist him and who follow that light which was sent down with him. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the ones who are successful. The verses continue with the same topic. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَا إِلَٰهِ إِلَّا هُوَ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ فآمنوا بالله ورسوله النبي الأمي الذي يؤمن بالله وكلماته واتبعوه لعلكم تهتدون. Allah says, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, O people, I am Allah's messenger to all of you. To him belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. There is no God but He. He gives life and He gives death. So believe in Allah and in His unlettered Prophet's messenger, who himself believes in the words of Allah. And then Allah says towards the end of the next verse, وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and follow him. Perhaps you may find guidance. As I've mentioned before in Surah Al-Fath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ وَتُصَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Things similar to this verse, but one additional feature of the relationship between the believers and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ. Allah says, so that you, O believers, may revere him. So what this verse, what these words in these sets of verses tell us are that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honoured the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, elevated his name, his mention, his rank. And Allah has praised him throughout the Qur'an, just as he has praised him in these verses here. But that's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What about his followers? The people of his ummah? What's their relationship with him? And so that relationship has been defined in a number of ways in these few verses. One, the believers should believe in him. They should support him, strengthen him, assist him. They should follow that light which was sent down with him. They should revere him and At the end of that verse, وَاتَّبِعُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ, and follow him so that perhaps you may find guidance. And this is the one aspect of a believer's relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I wish to focus on today, i.e. following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obeying him. And this is one of the most important dimensions of a believer's relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Believing in him isn't sufficient in itself. Loving him isn't sufficient in itself. But along with belief in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with loving the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if someone truly wishes to be successful and find guidance, then the condition is wattabi'u, and follow him. In fact, right at the beginning of this set of verses, Allah begins the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by referring to the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and Allah says, Allah begins the verse with the words, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّي, those who follow the unlettered Prophet's messenger. So this is probably the greatest obligation after Iman. After Iman in Allah and in His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an repeatedly addresses, emphasizes, and imposes the obligation and the duty on the believers of obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in so many verses throughout the Qur'an, Allah has placed the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alongside his obedience. Allah has mentioned the disobedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alongside his disobedience. And Allah has also explicitly said that whoever obeys the Messenger obeys Allah. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعُ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. Whoever obeys the Messenger, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, then indeed he has obeyed Allah. And whoever turns away, Allah consoles the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by telling him, فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. We have not sent you as a warden, as a guardian, as a monitor over them, because this would grieve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah is consoling him that you've done your duty by conveying the message of Allah. If some people choose to disbelieve in you and they turn away, as the verse clearly says, وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى, and whoever turns away, then, O Messenger of Allah, you are not an enforcer, a monitor, a warden, a guardian over them. We have not sent you as such. But the beginning of the verse is, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ, whoever obeys the Messenger, then indeed he has obeyed Allah. So, in fact, one can only obey Allah through the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the creation, there's no way of knowing Allah without Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no way of knowing the will of Allah, the commands of Allah, the deen of Allah, without his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't just a conveyor, someone who simply conveyed the message, and then he withdrew, and now, once the message has been delivered, the most important relationship is that between the individual and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indispensable, it's everlasting. And Allah himself emphasizes that throughout the Qur'an. There are so many verses, it's difficult to repeat them without sounding repetitive. Verse after verse after verse speaks about the obedience of Allah and the obedience of His Messenger. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u al-Rasul wa ulil amri minkum, fa in tanaza'tum fi shay'in farudduhu ila Allah wa al-Rasul. إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. O believers, obey Allah and obey the Messenger, and obey and the ones of authority amongst you. Then if you differ about something, then refer it to Allah and the Messenger, if you truly believe in Allah and in the final day. See how many times Allah Himself repeats and emphasizes the obedience of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, referring to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if someone truly believes in Allah. In fact, later on, after this particular verse, Allah mentions that the ones who turn away from the obedience of the Messenger are the munafiqun, the hypocrites. Only they choose not to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْكَ صُدُودًا. So, Allah says, and when it is said to them, come to that which Allah has revealed, and which He has also given to the Messenger. تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولُ. Come to that which Allah has sent down and given to the Messenger. رَأَيْتَ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْكَ صُدُودًا. You will see the hypocrites turning away from you, turning and preventing others from you. So they do both. Not only do the munafiqun, the hypocrites, turn away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically when they are invited to the revelation of Allah and to that which was given and commanded to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not only do they turn away themselves, but they also try to avert others. They try to divert others and prevent others from the way of Allah. And then Allah emphasizes a few verses later in the same theme. This is all one section of the Quran. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. And we have not sent any messenger. So it's not just the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, he comes in a long line of prophets and messengers. And he continues with the same tradition. There's no innovation here. Rather, throughout history, whenever Allah has sent a messenger, any messenger, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَسُولٍ, and we have not sent any messenger, إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, save that he should be followed by the command of Allah. So messengers didn't just come to deliver and then withdraw. They didn't just come to convey and then withdraw. Rather, they came as saviors, as guides, as prophets, as messengers, as conveyors, as deliverers, as teachers, as leaders, as commanders. And the ultimate conduit and connection between the creation and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator. So as the verse emphasizes, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, and we have not sent any messenger save that he should be obeyed, that he be obeyed by the command of Allah. And then later again in the same theme, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. What level of obedience is required from the believers? Look at the next verse. فلا وربك. So nay, by your Lord, Allah is addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nay, by your Lord, they will not believe. حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم. Until they make you the ultimate arbitrator in their common disputes. ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت. So not only do they make you the ultimate judge, even in their disagreements, but once you have passed judgment, once you have pronounced your verdict, they should not, and they won't believe until they do not even harbour any reservation, any discomfort, any ill feeling in their hearts over your judgment. And until, they will not believe until, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, they submit an utter submission. That's how much Allah has emphasised the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. Belief in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an obligation. Loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an obligation in itself. But just as iman in him isn't sufficient, just as loving him isn't sufficient, a person's relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many other ways is not sufficient until he or she obeys the Messenger of Allah, follows the Messenger of Allah. Therein lies success. Therein actually lies salvation. Without the ta'a, the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is no salvation. In fact, we learn from many authentic, reliable ahadith that on the day of reckoning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I said, this relationship doesn't end. He didn't come just to deliver a message. A person has a special relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine when a person is born, then it's sunnah that the first words that reach the baby's ears, the child's ears, the newborn's ears are Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. The adhan, the takbir of Allah, the kalima and shahada of belief in Allah, and the shahada that Allah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah. These are the first words that enter the ear of a child, of a Muslim child. That child's relationship begins there. In one way. And then, throughout one's life, iman, ibadah, even marriage, he or she cannot, well, they can, but normally, they will not get married without the blessing of the khutbah of nikah. And that khutbah of nikah again has the praise of Allah and the words of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then throughout life, when a person leaves this world, Salatul Janaza. Imagine, look at Salatul Janaza. It's a final funeral prayer after the dua to Allah and after the recitation of the Quran, according to some imams, where Suratul Fatiha is recited at the beginning of Salatul Janaza. But even with or without Suratul Fatiha, there is the takbir of Allah. There is the dua and the dua to Allah and praise of Allah. And then, after one of the takbirs, what do we have? Even before the dua for the mayyit, for the deceased, we have salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, when the body is lowered into the grave, again, it's with the name of Allah and the name of His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. By the name of Allah, and upon the millah, the religion of the Messenger of Allah. So a person's relationship begins at birth and continues throughout, even till the lowering of the body into the grave. And then what will happen is that that relationship continues. In the grave, one will be questioned by the angels. And one of the questions will be, what do you say of this man? Ay Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even in the grave, and on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that relationship continues. And every believer's hope is that they will gain the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. his intercession, and that they will also be honoured with the water given to drink at the pool by the blessed and noble hands of the Messenger of Allah himself. And people will be waiting, eager to drink. But precisely on that occasion, whilst men will be waiting, people will be waiting, all of a sudden, angels will come and lift some people from the very presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will actually snatch them. It won't be a mild leading away, that sorry, you don't belong here. No, they will actually be snatched and plucked before everyone from the gathering and from the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will exclaim that they are people of my ummah. But the angels will tell him, you do not know ma ahdathu ba'dak, what they introduced after you. You do not know what they did after you. So even you, O Messenger of Allah, right now you are remonstrating and saying that these are people of your ummah. But the angels will take them away. And violently so, in the sense that they will be snatched and plucked and lifted. And even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will remind them that these are people of my ummah, the angels will reply by saying, O Messenger of Allah, you do not know what they did after you. And so they believed in him. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will exclaim that they are my people. But the angels will say, you do not know what they did after you. They failed in their ta'ah, in their obedience. These aren't the words of the angels, that's my explanation. So what's the meaning of you do not know what they introduced after you? I.e. they introduce things. They did things after you, which ultimately were contrary to the spirit of belief in you, contrary to the spirit of the religion that you brought, your teachings, the words of Allah. So a believer's relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam isn't just one of belief, that we believe in him because he delivered the message of the Quran and then he withdrew, no? Rather, a person has a very deep connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that connection isn't just one of iman or simply just love, but rather along with believing in him, as these verses say, along with assisting him, supporting him, along with aiding him, along with revering him, and of course loving him, it's also imperative for the believers to follow that light which was sent down with him, and to actually follow the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Repeatedly throughout the Quran, you can take verses from all over the Quran that say the same thing: obey Allah and obey his Messenger. Whoever obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. ومن يعص الله ورسوله ويتعدى حدوده يدخله نارا يدخله نارا. Whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger and transgresses the boundaries and the limits of Allah, Allah shall thrust him into the fire. Therein he shall reside forever. So again, the focus of what I'm trying to say is, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger. In another verse, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. And it is not permissible for any believing man or believing woman, once Allah and his messenger, again, once Allah and his messenger have decreed a matter, أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم, that they have any choice in the affair. It is not lawful for a believing man and a believing woman, once Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam have decreed a matter, that they have any choice in that matter, that they have any choice in the affair. وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. And whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger, again, that together, whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger, then indeed he has erred a great error. It's not just the disobedience of Allah that leads to adab and punishment, that leads to calamities and a musibah. It's not just one musibah, masaib, calamities, misfortunes. It's not just the disobedience of Allah. In one verse, Allah says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. So let those who oppose the command, his command, meaning the command of the Messenger of Allah. So let those who oppose his command, meaning the command of the Messenger of Allah, let them fear that a fitna afflicts them, a trial, a tribulation afflicts them, or a painful punishment befalls them. There are verses throughout the Quran which speak repeatedly and in juxtaposition together of the obedience of Allah and the obedience of the Messenger, of the disobedience of Allah and the disobedience of the Messenger. There is such emphasis. In fact, going back to that earlier verse in which Allah says, nay, by your Lord, they will not believe until they make you the ultimate judge and arbitrator in their common disputes. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِّمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Then they do not harbour any reservation or discomfort in their hearts over your judgment, and until they do not submit totally, and a total submission. Ulama have repeatedly use this verse to point out that this isn't simply about being content and satisfied with the judgment of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dispute. Rather, this also applies to his teachings, that the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are such that one cannot feel or harbour reservation or discomfort towards them. So if someone feels discomfort or reservation in their heart at a commandment or teaching or instruction or prohibition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then for a believer, for a Muslim, for a mu'min, by this text of the Quran, that's highly questionable. Allah says, by your Lord, they will not believe until they do not harbour any reservation, any discomfort in their heart over your judgment, until they do not submit. So this applies to the teachings, even to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why I've repeatedly mentioned that if someone, for whatever their reason, their own failure, their own weakness, their lack of practice, if they cannot abide by the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they cannot follow his teachings and his sunnah to the full, then let them at least just acknowledge their own weakness and not go beyond that. To then mock the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to ridicule those who observe the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to hurt and harm and mock those who do try to follow him and obey him, and for a believer, that's placing oneself in a very perilous position. The least a person can do is acknowledge their own weakness and stop at that. Okay, I can't, for my own reasons, because of my own weakness, I don't obey the Messenger of Allah. I don't follow his way. I don't follow his sunnah in this particular thing or in these few things. Let me not compound this and make it worse by mocking the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by objecting to his teachings, or by actually ridiculing those who do follow him, who do obey him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed by someone. We all know this hadith. He passed by someone who was advising his brother about haya. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Da'hu, fa inna al-haya'a min al-iman." Leave him, for haya, shame, modesty, bashfulness, haya is of iman. Now, the meaning of this hadith isn't that the person who is being counseled and advised lacked haya, lacked modesty, bashfulness, and shame, and his brother, meaning brother in faith, was trying to preach haya to him, was trying to teach him to be bashful and modest, and trying to encourage him to observe haya, modesty and bashfulness and shame, and trying to instill this in him. No, that's not the meaning. And then we think that, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, leave him, because haya is of iman, i.e. If he was a mu'min, a true mu'min, then he would already have haya. That is not the meaning. Rather, we learn from other narrations, in Bukhari itself and other collections of hadith, that the full story is that the person who was being advised was actually very modest, was bashful. He was a person of haya. And his brother was advising him by rebuking him and telling him that you're too bashful, you are too modest. So much so that this is harmful to you. You're actually being disadvantaged. You're being taken advantage of. You're being exploited. This has harmed you. So when the Prophet ﷺ heard these words, the Prophet ﷺ corrected the corrector. And he chided the rebuker. And he said to him, leave him. For haya is of iman, meaning the fact that he is very modest, he is very bashful. I.e. he's too good for his own good. This is not something for which he should be scolded and rebuked for. Rather, this quality in him is a reflection of his iman. This is of iman. So leave him. Don't preach to him in this manner. Don't try to correct him. Even though he has actually suffered harm. These aren't the words of the Prophet ﷺ, but that's what the brother was telling him, that you are so modest, so bashful, that to the degree of being disadvantaged. So the relevance of this hadith, all I'm trying to say is, we should acknowledge the good in others. So if we are unable to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and obey him in what we should be obeying him in, we shouldn't compound our weakness and our failure by then rebuking, scolding, mocking, ridiculing those who do try to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We should leave them be. And rather acknowledge our own mistake, that we are unable to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and obey him as we should. At least these people are obeying him; they are following him. We have a relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that relationship should first of all be one of belief, and of course, love. But the most important aspect of that relationship is da'a and ittiba', following him and obeying him. To believe that my relationship is sufficient in itself is contrary to the teachings of the Qur'an and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many people had a relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had family members who loved him and whom he loved. So they had a genuine relationship of love. But even that in itself wasn't sufficient. And when Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ, indeed, you cannot guide one whom you love. Meaning, O Messenger of Allah, there may be people that you actually love. So not only do they love you, but you love them because of your personal relationship with them. However, despite your own love for them, you alone cannot guide them. So look at that. Many people had a relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, infinitely better, infinitely closer than we could ever have. And yet Allah's law in the Quran is such that every individual is responsible for their own deeds. And Allah will only allow shafa'ah, intercession, for those whom He gives permission. Otherwise, one's relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we cannot rely just on our claim of love. So we say we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but there must be proof of that love. The Sahaba radiyallahu anhum loved him. They made expressions of love, but their greatest expression and demonstration of love was to follow him and obey him. And their examples of their obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are legendary. How did they obey him? Allahu Akbar. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Just one person was willing to sacrifice everything but not shift an iota from the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were like that. And he was the chief example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a family relationship with so many people. Believers, cousins, uncles. And yet, even though they were family members, they saw him not just as a cousin brother, not just as an uncle, not just as a nephew, but they saw him as a messenger of Allah. His uncle Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib was his uncle, his father's brother. And yet, he had that personal rapport and connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But more than seeing him as a nephew, he actually saw him as the messenger of Allah who must be followed and obeyed. And that these were family members. Even the wives, who could have a better connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than his noble wives? And yet, how does Allah address the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's remarkable. In Surah Al-Tahrim and in Surah Al-Ahzab, when Allah addresses the wives specifically, directly, in a very personal manner. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul li azwajik, in kuntunna turidna al-hayata ad-dunya wa zinataha, fata'alayna umatti'kunna wa usarrihkunna sarahan jameela. Wa in kuntunna turidna Allahu wa rasulahu wa ad-dara al-akhira, fa inna Allaha a'adda lil muhsinati minkunna ajran 'azima. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had disagreements with his wives. And in fact, he distanced himself from all of them collectively and retreated into seclusion and contemplation. And one of the things he was reflecting on in that period of seclusion for a month was whether to remain with them or divorce them. And undoubtedly he turned to Allah, he sought Allah's guidance, Allah's assistance. And imagine, just to aid our understanding, when there are disagreements in marriage and elders get involved, family members get involved, what are the kind of things that are said by the elders, by the family members, to bring about reconciliation in the marriage? They speak about love. But you've spent 20 years together. Surely you love him, he loves you. You have children. think of the children. So love is called on. Both parties, husband and wife, are reminded of love. People do try to bring about harmony and reconciliation between them. And they speak to them on very personal terms. That, say to your wife, say to your husband, think about this, think about that. These are sincere, caring, wise, learned elders and individuals. And we don't have time to go into great detail regarding this, but listen to my previous talks on Ad-Din al-Nasiha, where I gave a series of, I think, over 10 talks just on that one hadith, Ad-Din al-Nasiha, that religion is sincerity. And in there, I also spoke about Nasiha, about advice, that who should you consult? Who should you go to for advice? And I mentioned then that we learn from the hadith that when someone sees a dream, that dream should only be related to, should only be shared with a person of knowledge. A labib, habib, or alim. Either with a person of knowledge, or with a person of great intelligence and wisdom, or with a true beloved, someone who truly cares for you. And that's just a dream. So if someone sees a dream, you shouldn't relate that dream except to an alim or to a labib or habib, someone who truly cares for you, someone who's wise and intelligent. Why? Because when you relate that dream to them, they'll go about interpreting it. And when they interpret it, they'll put thought in your head. And that's what you will believe. So if you want an interpretation of a dream, only share it with someone who has these qualities. And that's just a dream. What about seeking life-changing advice about marriage and divorce, about one's children, about one's relationship with one's parents, about serious matters? Shouldn't one approach just an alim or a labib or habib or someone who truly cares? People ask friends, acquaintances. And who has time? Who has the mental and emotional energy? And who's got the time, the ability, the knowledge, the wisdom, the insight, the foresight, the sagacity, the intuition, the perception? Who has all of these qualities from friends and acquaintances to advise a person about marriage and about divorce? Allahu Akbar. So many cases where someone consults a friend. Friends don't have time. So they give simplistic, dismissive advice. Divorce her and be done with it. Divorce him and be done with it. If I was you, I'd divorce him. If I was you, I'd walk away. If I was you, I'd divorce her. Allahu Akbar. Families are shattered. Families are broken. Because the people dispensing this advice so dismissively are neither alim, nor labib, nor habib. They aren't wise, intelligent, or people of sagacity, wisdom and knowledge, nor do they truly, sincerely, passionately care. Going back to the topic of reconciliation in marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a verse of the Quran that when you fear شقاق بينهما فبعثوا حكما من أهله وحكما من أهلها إن يريدا إصلاحا يوفق الله بينهما. If you fear disputes between them, i.e. husband and wife, then dispatch one envoy from his family, one envoy from her family. If these two representatives, if these two envoys, إِن يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحٍ يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا, if these two seek reconciliation, if these two truly seek reconciliation, يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا, Allah will bring about reconciliation between them. Now, which two is Allah speaking of? Because the verse simply says, send, dispatch an envoy from his family and send a representative from her family. If those two, if they both, in yurida islaha, if they both seek reconciliation, Allah will bring about harmony between the two. So, because these are just pronouns, it can appear to mean that if the husband and wife both seek reconciliation, i.e. truly, genuinely, then Allah will bring about harmony between them. But no, that's not what the verse is. That's not what the verse means. The first two are different from the second two. The meaning is, if these two envoys and representatives, the ones who are getting involved, if they both seek reconciliation, i.e. if they are sincere, then as a blessing of their sincerity, Allah will bring about harmony between the husband and wife. Their ikhlas, their sincerity, will bring about peace and harmony between husband and wife. And these are representatives. This is what's required. You need someone who can throw themselves into the task with sincerity, with devotion, with passion, and with a genuine desire that I am here not to break things, but to mend things. I am here not to break hearts, but to mend hearts. I am getting involved in this to try and bring about peace and reconciliation, love and harmony between them. And I will sincerely and passionately and devotedly try my utmost. If both individuals are sincere in this way, through the barakah and the blessing of their ikhlas and their sincerity, Allah will bring about peace and love and harmony between a quarrelling husband and wife. But that's what's required. So going back to the verse of Surah Al-Ahzab, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had disagreements with his wives. So who was advising him? Who was getting involved there? It was none other than Allah himself. So Allah is telling him, O Messenger of Allah, this is what you should say to your wives. So like a friend says to one who's consulted him regarding a marital dispute, that this is what you should say to her, this is what you should say to your family, this is what you should do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu qul li azwajik. O Prophet, this is what you should say. So what did he tell him to say? He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that period of consultation, or during that period of during that period of deliberation for one whole month when he retreated into seclusion, he said, O Prophet, tell your wives, إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا, if you seek the worldly life in its beauty, فَتَعَالَيْن, then come, أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُصَرِّحْكُنَّ صَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا, I will give you some wealth and then I will release you in a good way. If that's what you want, if you want dunya, if you want the world, its beauty and its glitter. And the reason for this reference was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had disagreements with his wives, and one of the disagreements, this wasn't the only one, it was just one of the disagreements, is that indeed they felt that riches were pouring into Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wanted him to give them a greater share of that wealth. So this is a reference. So Allah said, tell your wives, if you want the worldly life and its beauty and its glitter, then come, you shall have it. But then once you have that, if that's what you want, then you can have it. You can't have both. If that's what you want, then I shall give you wealth. But then I shall release you. Because then you cannot stay with the Messenger of Allah. وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعْدَ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْ كُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. But if you want Allah, and now this is the point that I wish to emphasize. The wives had a very caring, loving, affectionate, very personal, marital relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even reference that here. Allah says, if you want Allah, and then not your husband, if you want your husband. No. If you want Allah and His Messenger. So here again, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a very personal, intimate relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their husband, and they as wives. But that was one relationship. But the greater relationship between them was that of one of the ummah and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what Allah references here. That if you want Allah and His Messenger and the abode of the hereafter, then know that verily Allah has prepared for the ones who do good amongst you an immense reward. Then later, in the same set of verses of Surah Al-Ahzab, يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيَّ لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَ. O wives of the Prophet, again, wives of the Prophet, that's their relationship. You are quite unlike other women. If, the words continue, not simply that you are quite unlike other women, rather, you are quite unlike other women if in ittaqaytun you adopt taqwa. And then later again, وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And establish salah and give zakah. Allah is addressing only the wives. Establish salah and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. So even the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had a very personal, close connection and a very intimate marital relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even with them, Allah emphasizes one thing, that He is the Messenger of Allah who must be followed and who must be obeyed. Not as a husband, but obeyed and followed as the Messenger of Allah. And in Surah Al-Tahrim, again, Allah is addressing the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah reminds the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of four women. Two women who are married to the Prophets of Allah. One woman who was married to a tyrant and the enemy of Allah, Fir'aun. And one woman, Maryam bint Imran, who wasn't married. And Allah gives the example of these four people. So for the unbelievers, Allah says, Allah gives the example, Allah strikes the parable for those who don't believe. Of the wives of Nuh and Lut, the two prophets of Allah. So even though they were both married to the prophets of Allah, two pious servants of Allah, they had that personal connection, that marital relationship, that intimate relationship with them. But because they disobeyed them as messengers of Allah, what became of them? They did not attain salvation at all. Even though they were married to the prophets of Allah. And then, in the next verse, Allah gives the example of two women for the believers. That, oh believers, look at these two women. One was married to a tyrant, Imra'at Fir'aun, the wife of Pharaoh, who, despite being married to a tyrant, because of her own belief and her own good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved her, elevated her. And a woman who wasn't even married, Maryam bint Imran, the mother of Isa ibn Maryam. She was without husband, and yet through her faith, her ibadah, her devotion to Allah, Allah elevated her ranks. So having a personal relationship, even for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them that that wasn't enough. Allahu Akbar. That's something to think about. That without the ta'ah, without the obedience of the Messenger of Allah, without following the Messenger of Allah as a prophet, as a messenger, even the wives of the prophets of Allah could not attain salvation simply by virtue of being married to them. So how can we think that if we just cultivate in our minds a relationship of simple belief and love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without following his sunnah, without obeying the Messenger of Allah, we will attain salvation, when Allah did not grant that to the wives of the prophets of Allah? He didn't. As in Surah Al-Tahrim and Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah reminds them. Nuh alayhi salam had a son. And he actually prayed to Allah. We say, I have a relationship with this shaykh, with that alim, with this mentor, with that guide. And he will pray for me. Some individuals have actually openly and brazenly said that, follow me, and I will answer the angels in the grave on your behalf. Or people openly say, follow me and I will intercede on your behalf on the day of reckoning. Imagine the dua and the plea of a prophet of Allah, who is an alim, or a shaykh, or a guide, or a murabbi, or a haji, or a pious individual, or a wali, or anyone, in comparison to the dua and the plea of a prophet of Allah. So Nuh alayhi salam pleaded with Allah and interceded on behalf of someone. Do you know who that person was? His own flesh and blood, his son. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. That, O Nuh, you say he's of your family. I tell you, he is not of your family. He was his son. But because he failed to obey his father, not just as a father, but he failed to obey his father as a prophet and a messenger of Allah, despite being his son, and despite Nuh alayhi salam pleading with Allah for him and interceding on his behalf, Allah's reply in the Quran, as quoted in the Quran, was, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. That, O Nuh, he is not of your family. In fact, he himself is an impious deed. So do not ask me of that of which you have no knowledge. So a son's relationship with his father, who was a prophet of Allah, the wife's relationship with their husband, the wives' relationships with their husbands who were messengers of Allah and prophets of Allah, they were not sufficient for them to attain salvation, despite their love, despite that intimate connection, despite that closeness, when all of these individuals failed to follow them and obey them as prophets and messengers of Allah. Even their natural love wasn't sufficient. This is why the Quran emphasizes the obedience of the Prophet of Allah alongside the obedience of Allah, and warns against the disobedience of the messenger alongside the disobedience of Allah himself. Without that, there is no salvation. And as I said, the Quran is replete with verses of this nature. Obey Allah, obey the messenger of Allah. Obey Allah and his messenger. Whoever obeys the messenger, obeys Allah. Whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger. Whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger, then indeed he has scored an immense success. Verse after verse throughout the Quran repeats this and emphasizes this. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as we should, and to strengthen that iman in him and love for him with true obedience and ittiba and following of the noble messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for therein lies success and lies salvation. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulih nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.